Houston is all systems go. We love our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good point, Art. We'll finish the J.J. Redick story someday. In the meantime, we got Richard Justice here with us on ESPN 97.5. Opening day, baby! Opening day. Richie, how many opening... I know, John, this is my 900th opening day. Opening day in the NFL. I've covered every Houston team since 1927. So, how many opening days now in the profession have you had?
I think the first one was 1979. I haven't made them all since then, but there's been a lot. My first opening day as a fan was, I was at the Rangers' very first game at Arlington Stadium in 1972. I don't think I've ever made an Astros opening day prior to Minute Maid Park. But, the one thing you feel is, and it's going to be different this year because the reporters are not going to be in the clubhouse for pregame, at least for a while. But every team thinks it has a chance. This is the one thing. Every team thinks it has a chance. And for Astros fans, I mean, this is as good as it's going to get. This franchise, you know, at a time where we're not real happy with our other franchises in town, this franchise does a lot of things right, pretty much everything right. I don't know if you guys feel this way. It's been a little different for me in that I'm so excited about Houston and Baylor in the Final Four. It's sort of a distraction. But it's opening day, and we got baseball every night between now and November.
Yeah. You went to Baylor, right, if I remember correctly, right?
I could, one of the many places I could not get in.
No, oh, that's you're wrong. Done. It's the wrong person.
Oh, that's right. He's a Longhorn. It's hey. Okay. Y'all lost to Abilene Christian or something.
Pathetic.
There's a certain pizza place in town where Johnny goes and watches the football games and all these basketball games. And I think it was the Baylor women were playing that night. And I texted him and said something like, hey, are you there? You know, like maybe I'd like to come over and offer some color commentary. And I pretty much let me know that it was a Baylor only crowd.
Yeah, right, you're not so welcome.
I got a serious question for you here.
No, you don't.
Yeah. No, I honestly do. Last year was obviously a huge distraction with pandemic shutting down baseball, and then it came back and it was in a completely different form than it will be in this year. So this will be the first full year that we're it's James Click's team. It's not the full four year. It's James Click's team, but this is like the first full year where we don't have all the craziness. Do you have the same level of, I had a lot of confidence in the AJ Hinch and Jeff Leno combination, a ton of confidence. And why wouldn't you? What is your level of confidence? Is it the same, or do they still have to earn it, James Click and Dusty Baker?
No, it's just the same. And you know what the tipping point for me was during the playoffs last year. Remember, this team had a losing record in the regular season. And the way they manipulated the pitching during the postseason, and the biggest one being telling Zach Greinke, okay, we're going to let you go one time through the lineup. I think that was what they ended up doing. And then we're going to take you out. This is a guy headed to the Hall of Fame, and you're saying, we're going to go get you. And that told me that James Click has a pair of brass ones, and he's not afraid to go down and stir things up in the clubhouse. Secondly, it told me that he and Dusty Baker have a great, and Brett Strom, the pitching coach, have a great a working relationship and a trust in each other. And I don't think, Jeff Luna, I think, would object to this, but I think there were times, and there's always going to be tension between the manager and the general manager. That's a good thing for the most part. But I think there were times where AJ had problems with them and Jeff had problems with AJ, because you always want, you know, they have different views of the world, because AJ and Dusty have a ground level view of what's going on, and they have to deal with the personalities and they have to sell all the decisions that are made. I know a manager that had a player come in his office few years ago, and the guy opened the conversation. He was mad about not being in the lineup, and he opened the conversation by saying, I know you had nothing to do with this. And the manager said, to hell I didn't, and he put him in there. He put the let the guy talk his way into the lineup. It wasn't Houston. He let his let the guy talk his way into the lineup, and he said, I probably got a letter in my file. So it's a different game. You know, the avalanche of information that comes every day, and you have to have a manager that's open to it, and Dusty's open to it.
Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5, and we're waiting. Countdown is on for Carlos Correa's deal. Lindor's $341 million deal, 34 a year, Richie. When Tatis is only getting 24 a year with his 14-year deal, and now we're talking about Carlos. You know, Lindor has only missed 30 games the last 5 years. Carlos misses that in half a season. What's a reasonable number for both sides? I mean, what can... And I, he's so hard to put a number on because he misses so many games, and that's his MO. What do you do in this situation?
You know, what's the number for each side? I mean, the number you've got to get to is $30 million a year. That's the new going rate in baseball. Is he worth that? If you're the Astros, you're going to go, okay, you know, if you say he's going to be healthy, if you know he's going to be healthy, he's as good as any player in the game. But like you said, he hasn't been healthy. These long-term contract extensions are, you know, they normally don't work out. For every Mike Trout there are probably 10 guys that don't. And I don't know the answer to it. You know, when you let George Springer walk, you're saying we're going to keep, to me, you're saying we're going to keep McCullers and Correa. But the numbers are so big in terms of Correa that it's almost mind numbing. So, you know, do I think they'll get something done before game time tonight? I'd say it's probably 50-50. But and if you don't get it done now, you go into free agency. But I don't think Carlos wants to go into free agency. There's too many unknowns now with the economics of the game and the labor agreement expiring and all sorts of things. I think to me, and I think he feels this way too. I think he would give something to get something done. But you know, people say, I've had people stop me and go, "Hey, they're offering him a lot of money." Well, that used to be Drayton's MO in every negotiation to Carlos Beltran. We're offering you a lot of money, yeah, but it's not the market value. Players are competitive, as you guys know.
Yeah,
I mean, if Lindor got $34 million a year, then I'm worth $34 million a year, and it gets really complicated.
Right. Well, no, Lindor's deal happening yesterday is a bad thing. Who do you think's got a higher OPS, Lindor or Carlos?
Carlos had it. Well, his was only about 700 last year, but I love the guy, and I think the energy Springer. What did Springer get to the club besides what you could measure on paper? He was the DJ after the game. He was the guy with the biggest mouth in the dugout. He was the guy that the snapshot is of him making a diving catch and jumping up smiling. Well, the guy that's most like him is Carlos Correa, because Altuve's a quieter guy. Bregman doesn't show the same kind of emotion on the field. So, you know, Carlos can become the poster boy for the whole franchise if they get this done.
Their OPS, identical, 833.
Yeah, and the thing is, what they both bring is a persona. Like, and they're both one of those guys that when you approach them, they own the room. They never met strangers. Mm-hmm. And Lindor's got that smile. But, in terms of Lindor, the Mets' new ownership wanted to make a statement. Hey, we're not the other guys. We're not going to let our guys walk. We're going to get this done, and we have to overpay to get it done. We're going to do it.
Yep. Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5. Excited to see Alvarez. That's Lance, and we're both are. Mm-hmm. See if he can get back to Rookie of the Year. But I'm more excited. I want to see Jose Altuve get back to Hall of Fame, Rich. Last year was so hard on him with the family and with the scandal and everything else, and then not being able to throw the first base. He did finally hit in the ALCS, which was great to see him hitting again. But, man, I'm looking forward to seeing a Hall of Famer again.
Man, there is no – I don't know that I've ever been around a player that cares more about his teammates a guy that is more prepared and prepares every day. You know, everybody knows his backstory. The Astros sent him away a couple of times from tryout camps and before giving him, I think, $15,000. And he became one of the great players in the game. I think what I saw at the end of spring training last year is the guys getting booed every day. They were getting worn down by it. I'm not saying that I know them that well to understand the mood, but I could see that Bregman and Altuve and those guys were just worn down by the spring training booing. And I asked Bregman a couple of weeks ago, I said, how are you going to deal with the booing? What fans there are going to be? And he said, we're trying to tell ourselves you control what you can control. But that's going to be we talk about the razor thin rotation and working Miles Straw and Chas McCormick into it and all this stuff. But how you handle that and how much you hear of that, that's going to be an interesting part of this.
Absolutely. Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5. SI has the Angels winning the Joe Madden. Issue is there. That's why they might have him up there. Plus, you know, Rendon, that's awfully nice. The Astros finishing second and the A's third. I don't think it's crazy, but I got the Astros in the division. Who you got?
Yeah, I got the Astros too. I see Fangraphs has it a coin toss between the Astros and the A's. 538 has the Astros winning by about 10 games. Interestingly, on Fangraphs, they have only two AL teams winning 90 games. Twins and Yankees and everybody else in the 88, 86, 84 range. But I can see why you would pick against the Astros in that there are a lot of questions about all the momentum the young pitchers had in the postseason last year. I mean, what they did in the postseason, you take a losing team that got in only because they expanded the playoff field and they missed the World Series by one game. And it was the front office and Dusty's finest hour to see those kids like Javier and Urquidy. But now, you know, Greinke's 37, Verlander's 38, don't know when he's going to pitch. Your number one starter, Framber Valdez, you don't know when he's going to pitch. And can all those young guys maintain the momentum? Like when Dusty goes out to the mound and starts calling in relievers, it's a whole new cast of characters from a couple of years ago. But I trust the front office. And if they say Luis Garcia's ready for the big leagues, then he's ready for the big leagues. You need those front three, Greinke, Odorizzi, and McCullers. You need them to stay healthy. It's a really, really, really good team.
Were you really surprised by the McCullers deal, length of deal, amount of deal? I guess once Dell started reading off guys who, you know, where the $17, $18 million range was, I mean, it's not crazy for McCullers. I still think you're kind of paying them on projection still, which is, you don't want to do that too often. But where are you on that contract and what that says about the Astros' future plans for their rotation?
You have to build around people, and they have no idea what they're going to get out of Forrest Whitley. McCullers is shapes up to be the anchor for a long time to come. And in terms of stuff, which is sometimes an uncertain thing to build around, but it's a good place to start, there's nobody better. I mean, that curveball is as good as any pitch in baseball, and he wants to be here. It made a lot of sense. You have to transition. You weren't going to keep Springer. You couldn't let them all go, but at the same time, you can't keep them all either.
No. Let's go on the other side. Richie, can you stay another segment?
I got nothing to do.
He's got nothing
he's
today.
Got nothing.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll get Richie here on the other side as well, talking baseball on opening day here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about Jeff Aaronoff at Absolute Marble and Granite, and I talked about he went to Chastain Ford and he picked up his pickup truck. Jeff Aaronoff needs a pickup truck because he's got so much he's doing with carrying. And I don't know if he's carrying marble and granite and everything else in there, but I know he is busting his butt getting out there to all of the big jobs that he has got in, not only in this city, but Jeff Aaronoff is working around the country. He told me he had a bunch of stuff going in Atlanta, in Dallas, hotels that he's doing. He's doing all the vanities for a hotel or countertops or whatever he's doing. Jeff Aaronoff is a guy who is, you know, not only he's not just for us here, But he's a guy that is going to get that big job that you need done. And if you're looking for somebody that is going to take care of that outdoor patio, he's going to take care of that kitchen for you. He's going to take care of that bathroom for you. He's going to redesign it. He'll redo it. If you had issues with the, you know, the Arctic blast and your pipes burst and you have a ruination of any of your rooms, well, here, Jeff Aronoff is here for you. And all you got to do is give him a call and let him come and take a look. And he'll bring, you know what, he'll be the architect of it as well. So you don't need anybody else on that job. And he'll help you pick out all the stuff that you want, the technology and the what he can do now. It's unbelievable how good it can look. So all you got to do is start the process, 713-880-2822. Absolute Marble and Granite, 713-880-2822.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Richard Justice is with us here, talking some baseball on opening day. Richard, are you at all worried about closing games? I mean, how does it work if you don't have that dominant closer?
Well, if he's right, if Ryan Pressly's right, he's as dominant as anybody in the game. But I think in terms of the pitching, you worry about all of it. And I think that would be the reason you would not pick them to win. That would be the only reason you wouldn't pick them to win the AL West. They're top of seven in the lineups, as good as any in baseball, especially if Alvarez has a bounce back year. So I don't know what's going to happen in terms of I think the ninth I feel okay about. But we're going to look at some new faces like Belock and those guys in the innings before that. And in the back of the rotation, they're going to be new names, and they're likely to rotate as the season plays out. But again, you know, for this team to be as successful as it's been since 2015, you're going to have to transition, and last year was the start of a transition.
Well, how do you see, like, the last four? Like, who do you see as the top four in the bullpen?
I see well, let me see. Belock is going to probably, you know, with Taylor and Belock, you're going back between the rotation and, let me just get my notes here and look at it.
Baez.
Okay. Where does Paredes figure in? You got Scrub, Paredes, Rayleigh. I guess Luis Garcia is going to pitch the fifth game of the season right now.
And then he'll
right. I think you start with Taylor. Paredes, Scrub,
yeah.
And you don't know when Josh James is going to be. So those are all guys that looked good at times last year, and they're all guys with plus stuff. But until you do it, you don't know that you can do it. And another factor is, so like everybody pitched in 25 games last year, the starters pitch 50 innings, and you're going to ask them to go to 60 games, 70 games, and pitch 150, 180 innings, things like that. That's a big worry. But every team has that worry. Like, how do we ramp them up slowly, going from a third of a season to a full season without injuring a bunch of guys? Right. That's the unknown.
Well, when Baez gets here, it makes the bullpen better. Scrub is going to get better. When Odorizzi gets here in the first week, Garcia goes to the bullpen. When Fromber comes back, Javier goes to the bullpen. I like the pen, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, I like the arms. But, you know, it's still, you got to go through it a season. I would think last year they gained confidence, certainly in the postseason. Now, you can't manipulate it the way you did in the postseason, because they were basically using three guys, moving them between the rotation and the bullpen. You can't do that over a whole season. But the other part of that is, in Brent Strom and in Dusty Baker, you have guys that have a tendency to instill confidence in guys. Jason Castro is a calming presence behind the plate. So they have the talent. You just have to go out and do it. There's going to be some rough spots along the way, but every year in a bullpen you have that.
Do you, Richard, do you, so last year the two names we were told to watch were Paredes and Javier before the season started. who are a couple minor leaguers that we need to who are a couple minor leaguers that we need to keep our eye on that could become factors this year, either position wise or pitching wise?
They don't have them. I mean,
really?
Seth McCormick's going to make the team. No. I mean, they have only one of among MLB's top 100 prospects. They have only one player. Tampa Bay, for instance, has eight in that one.
Who
player,
are the Astros? Who's the Astros player?
Well, it's not Whitley anymore.
No,
yeah, it's Whitley. That's the guy.
It is Whitley.
Yeah, that's the guy. So they're all up here now. All those guys, Garcia, and we'll see what McCormick can do. You know, Miles Straw. I don't know in terms of this. We know the farm system's bad. It's in the bottom three in baseball because of all the trades made in recent years. But that doesn't matter. All you need is is one or two guys to hit it. So, you know, Pedro Leon's an outfielder that's only supposed to make it next year. They have a right-handed pitcher named Hunter Brown that's supposed to make it next year. So all those guys are in play. But the guy we know is here is Garcia, and McCormick are here. And hopefully there'll be a surprise out of there, like a Tyler Ivey, a right-handed pitcher that they love a lot, they like a lot. But in terms of sure things, Forrest Whitley was supposed to be the sure thing. Kyle Tucker was supposed to be the sure thing. And so far, Tucker looks like he's on the way to being a star. And Whitley, we just don't know about.
Do you give the Braves a chance to beat the Dodgers?
The Dodgers are the best team in baseball again, and they got better in the offseason. And they're I think the Mets are going to win the NL East.
You do? Over the Braves?
I think they got a little bit more pitching. You know, how many teams can win the World Series and it would surprise nobody? In the American League, that would be the Yankees, the Rays, the Twins. The White Sox, I guess, would be a bit of a surprise. And the A's and the Astros. So that's a big number. And in the National League, you could go. I think the Nationals would be a little bit of a surprise. But it'd be the Braves, the Mets, the Brewers are going to be really, really good. Dodgers and Padres are going to be really good. And that's sort of the power rankings at this point in the season.
Yeah. You think San Diego gives them a good run?
Yes, they're really good. And what Atlanta has is so much pitching that, you know, they go 7 and 8 deep on young pitchers, and they have not traded them. And they can compete with anybody. And this guy, Ronald Acuna Jr., is just sort of like a Lindor or Correa, sort of an electric personality that tends to rally people. Let's go play.
Yeah. So here it is, opening day, 4 games on ESPN and the Astros in the last one. Richie, is this Mike Fiers thing is ridiculous. Is he ever going to start against the Astros?
Well, he's going to have to at some point, I would think. They can't duck him the whole year. And I don't think they're ducking him this time. I think he legitimately is not ready to go. But, you know, how do you guys feel the booing is going to impact the Juan Loss record? Or do you think it will?
I think we're a year removed now, and people are still going to be idiots. I mean, they were booing. They're booing. And you know what? There's only a handful of guys left on this team that were here in 2017. So,
right.
And George Springer ain't going to be booed for cheating. We know Marwin isn't getting booed. I mean, it's ridiculous. Right. As soon as you – A.J. Hinch isn't going to be booed.
Gerrit Cole won't be. Well, he wasn't on the team.
No, he wasn't on the team. So – I mean, it's just ridiculous what they, they're booing guys that weren't even here.
Somebody said to me, the country's gone through a lot since then, you know, a pandemic, and we're looking at the world differently. Don't you think all will be forgiven? I said, baseball fans see certain inalienable rights, hot dog, beer, and we're going to call and we're going to yell, "You suck," to Alex Bregman.
Yeah. Listen, and again, The Athletic did another piece this week that said, you know what? Yeah, they cheated. It didn't help them. As a matter of fact, it probably hurt them.
But that's true. I agree with that. And you know, whatever the Yankees were doing, Mark Teixeira told them, like, was on the team, said, "You got to stop. You're going to get somebody killed, and it's not helping anybody." So I think, which makes it all more. more ridiculous. Like, do you think Jose Altuve needs any help? I mean, guys, anybody has ever seen. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's certainly a lesson learned for AJ and Jeff Luno.
Yeah, well, AJ bounced back. Luno, we'll see. That's Richard Justice right here on ESPN 97.5, baseball expert, been doing it professionally since 1979. This is my 43rd opening day, and I love baseball, and the Astros are going to win it all again. That's right.
Hey, so who's going to win the Houston-Baylor game?
Houston.
Wouldn't that be
great? I'm having a hard time saying that. Rich.
He didn't believe that.
Yeah, it's hard. It's going to be a tough one. But you know what? You still got to give those Cougs big ups. They're going to play them tough, though. I'll tell you that. They're going to play them tough. But Baylor's so deep. They got so many guys that can score.
What a job both those two coaches. Scott Drew took the worst job in America, and Kelvin Sampson took a place that was drowning in apathy. You guys know about the rats at Halfine Pavilion? Like I said to him the other day, I said, did you ever see the rats that were, you know, the place was just infested. And he goes, I didn't see them, but I heard a lot about them. I said, it tended to intimidate opponents, but I don't think it was what recruits wanted to see.
No, probably not. No.
My kid was on the swim team over there, and they'd have them run the stands at Halfine Pavilion. And she said, it was really easy to get going because you don't want to go down. You don't want to go down to the floor because there were rats down there.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he fixed all that. Their facilities are as good as any. And if you don't want to play for Kelvin Sampson, you're in the wrong sport. I mean, what a job that guy's done.
Oh, he's been excellent. Excellent. No, great for the city. Maybe he's the best coach we've got here. I don't think there's any question about that. And we appreciate it. Richie, as always, thanks for hanging with us and happy opening day.
Thanks, Richard.
Thanks. Same to you guys.
Richard Justice right here on ESPN 97.5.